And you may continue.
Great. Thank you, operator. So that's our process at this point. We could not get all these busy people on one work group call, as our assistant tried. So we're just going to have this discussion twice. We've got the benefit on each call of having one of our steering committee co-chairs. Today we've got Bruce on the line, and the next one we'll have Tom Rosenthal joining the remaining CSEC work group members. So any questions in terms of process before we start the discussion?
No, I think we're good. Thank you.
Okay, great. So what we have given to you, and we gave you quite a bit of data and information, not that I think you're going to take a deep dive on all of it, but we included for you the memo we shared with the CSAC on February 7th, just going over, I think more than anything else, the proposed process. The second thing we did include was the actual letter, from Optum. Specifically questioning the four measures, although one of them was actually put up for voting, the diabetes measure, since the committee did not arrive at consensus on that measure. So it really is remaining the three remaining measures for discussion. And then we also included a response from Tom and Bruce as the Resource Use Steering Committee co-chairs to some of the overarching issues, as well as some of the specific points made in the Ingenix letter. We then have a couple of pieces of information specifically around reliability and validity. Then we've got for you very detailed the measure submission forms, which we know are quite long, as well as an email exchange we had with David Hopkins, where he raised some specific concerns about process, which we responded to, and he asked that we share that with the work group. And then finally, this issue that has emerged is really more of a policy issue that we'll certainly talk about with the full CSAC. But since it's relevant, at least, we did include for you just a brief memo about some clarification of the definition of a national consensus standard, which is an issue that has come up through the course of this project, although I don't think was a single factor that led to any of the decisions, since several of the cost of care measures without standardized prices did go through. But I do think there was a consideration of whether there is a role for NQF to endorse measures that can only be used at a market or local level as opposed to a national level. So those are the materials before you today. Perhaps it would be helpful. Bruce, would you mind just walking through briefly the sort of high-level perspective of the co-chairs in your memo?
Actually, no, I'm more comfortable just answering questions, if that's okay. But I'm happy to do that.
Great. Well, maybe we'll just have Tarun kind of walk through some of the high points, and then we'll just stop, if that's okay. Frank is going to dial in now.
Okay, great. I guess some of the major questions here for the CSAC work group, by the way, this is Tarun Amin speaking. I'm the senior director here on this project, and Ashley Wilbon, who's the senior project manager here, is here as well. So happy to answer any specific questions that you may have. Again, just to summarize a few of the key points that were raised in the Ingenix request for reconsideration were along the lines of, one, the reassessment and revoting of the measures by the steering committee was based on an NQF request for standardized prices and actual price measure specifications. Further, the steering committee deliberations on select components of usability and the feasibility criteria and the impact of their recommendations were based around the measure complexity, concerns around sample size and usefulness at the individual provider level, impact of carve-outs, and the cost of implementation. So again, I think Bruce and Tom have articulated pretty extensively in their memo to the work group their response to each of these questions, but I'll sort of, I guess probably the most effective way here is to turn it over to the work group members to see if they're, after reviewing this memo from the co-chairs, if there's any additional clarification that needs to be provided or that can be provided to help in understanding and clarifying some of the positions here. But the major question that's to be answered today during today's call is whether the information presented by Ingenix justifies a reconsideration of the steering committee's decision on the measures. And following today's call, we would like to have some sense of the consensus of this group to take to the full CSAC and potentially even have a speaker from this group present to the CSAC in their March meeting. So, Christine and Dennis, and Frank, if you're on the call, I'll sort of turn it over to you, and then we can have a conversation from there.
This is Christina. I'll start. What I noted in sitting the two letters side by side, the memo, two memos, I should say, one memo from Optum and then the memo, which was the response from the chairs, was that, the main dispute seems to be based on, whether or not there was, what the basis of decision was, right, for the steering committee. And Optum puts out that that they believed that the decision was based and largely based on some of these specific areas where they felt maybe either misdirected or misunderstood. And then the steering committee comes back and says, "No, actually, that wasn't why we made the decision. There are these other issues which actually are not addressed directly by Optum." And so, to me, it looks like two separate interpretations of the process, which is, something that's not easy to referee, right? The intent of what the steering committee was doing relative to their decisions. The biggest process one, I think, was this one around, if we take them one by one, this one issue around actual versus standardized pricing, and whether or not Optum felt like they, they did not understand at the time that they were asked to resubmit that it would have been in their favor to have resubmitted both an actual and a standardized pricing. But then I also think I read that you all said that you actually didn't have time to do the extensive documentation around standardized pricing. That one seemed like one about direction, and the rest of them looked like opinion about the basis of decision. That fairly characterized?
Be help with some feedback and some context?
Why don't we ask Bruce to provide the committee response first, and then we'll start.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Yeah. You mean, on the specific issue of the separation of the measures from those that were costed using actual costs versus measures using standardized costs. I'm pretty confident in speaking for the steering committee. And by the way, it should come as no surprise. There's a whole lot of views and knowledge bases and other differences among the steering committee members. So please don't get the idea that every one of the steering committee members saw these issues exactly the same. Nevertheless, I think it's fair to say that the separation did not bias the steering committee's decision in any particular direction, and in particular that measures using standardized costs were in some sense preferred to measures using actual costs. I think our view is that each kind of measure went through the same kind of evaluation process, and the ultimate outcome was not determined by whether the measure was standardized cost or actual cost. Hello?
Yep.
Right.
Dan, if you'd like to weigh in, that's fine.
Sure. And first of all, thank you for the opportunity to comment here and to even have things reconsidered. Obviously, in our note, we have utmost respect for what you've done and the challenge of the the committee. And I think Bruce and Tom had noted in their response all the work that the committee went through. And I know how much material we put together to share with you. And I'm very impressed that people had the the patience and the wherewithal to have waded through it all and come up with some really good good comments and, you know, challenges to what we're doing. So thank you again. Maybe the crux of the of our response on the first part was, I think as we noted, early on in the process, there was, to be honest, probably not enough clarity around whether we should be submitting an actual or a standard price methodology or both, or leave that up to the user. And, rightly so, later on in the process, after we had, submitted a measure months later, NQF came back and said, in fact, we would like you to be specific here and, choose a methodology and submit the measures separately, which, we're perfectly fine with that decision to go forward with that approach. I think the challenge for us is, after having gone through, a pretty careful evaluation with the steering committee, with the TAPs, and so on, about the scientific validity of all the different components of our methodology, but before we got into this discussion of the standard price versus actual price measures, there were assessments and votes on the different components of that, which, from my understanding, was what that initial voting, that was the result. So that captured the net effect of, any parts of our methodology that the steering committee thought to be challenged or could be improved, as well as any parts of the methodology that made sense and people found to be valid. And, based on that initial voting, as we noted in our letter, the measures were, a handful of the measures were endorsed. And subsequently, when we were asked to, I'm assuming, so at that point, if we hadn't been asked to go back and split our measures and submit one or the other or both, that, the result would have been, based on all the careful deliberations, that these measures would have moved forward with endorsement. And then, so, led us to the conclusion when there was a second vote, which from our understanding was put forth for the need to assess these as the actual per standard price measure, that the revote was taking into account, that change rather than essentially reevaluating all the other components of the methodology that had been evaluated before, which led us to the conclusion that, actual versus standard pricing was, and the fact that we had only submitted the actual price measure, was the reason that the measures were switched from not being endorsed to, for being endorsed to not being endorsed. Maybe the question from our side is it a true statement that if the revote hadn't been requested, the voting would have stood as it had been before?
Is that a true fact, as we say? This is Bruce again. The one thing I can say, this is, again, me talking, but as I read your letter or your memo, what I think didn't get adequately represented, and no reason why it should from your perspective, is the fact that the steering committee itself went through a process. You could call it a learning process, in large part because this was pretty new material, certainly for me, but I think a new area for measure and endorsement, such that the committee, when it began the process early on, and the committee that ended the process, having looked at a bunch of measures with all the related materials submitted, wasn't really the same entity. Because it, of the passage of time, a little bit of variation in the membership who were present at meetings, but even most importantly, having gone through a learning process so that each person was bringing to the table a slightly different set of information and thoughts than they would have been when the process was brand new. So when you ask the question, would, if you had submitted something different at the outset, would it have gotten the same vote? I guess the simple answer is I can't tell you. I really don't know. But I do know that the passage of time and the experience of the steering committee was certainly a factor, I think, in the outcomes of the recommendations made by the steering committee.
So I guess what you're saying, Bruce, is that in that passage of time, essentially there was a reassessment of, in your mind, of things beyond the value of standard versus actual prices.
Yes, I would say yes. That was not the only variable for sure. To try to characterize all 17 plus members in one summary statement is very hard to do. But I'm pretty sure that the thinking of many of the steering committee members, in large part due to the experience gained by having looked at a whole bunch of measures and the related materials submitted, changed. Maybe a little bit or not at all for some members, maybe a substantial amount for others.
And if I might just, Bruce, add to, again, not to characterize all of the committee's deliberations here, but to add to the fact that it is very difficult for the committee to evaluate any single measure component in isolation across multiple measures submitted by any one developer. And really the way that the committee evaluated validity of the measures was the interactive component of many different measures, many different measure components. So while a change in the costing approach wasn't in itself a change that might have influenced the decision of the committee, it was really many different measure components interacting with one another, which in some people's mind questioned the validity of the measure that they were evaluating. And even when there was issues with clinical logic, I think the tighter the clinical logic for measures that were recommended for endorsement using actual prices, the logic was much more sound that many committee members felt that it was justified for use at the individual provider level using actual prices, where those measures that had maybe a little less soundness in the clinical logic would be a little change the opinion of some in the room. But if there are any specific, we really want this to be a focused discussion with the CSAC work group members. So if there are any specific questions that you have, that's really where we'd like to focus the discussion.
I'm sorry, was that comment to myself or was that to the CSAC?
No, the comment was really to the CSAC work group to see if they have additional questions for clarification. So.
Okay, thank you.
So, Christine and Dennis, I guess starting with you, Frank is going to try to dial in shortly. Any specific thoughts or questions about what you've been able to read or opportunities to ask questions, particularly of Bruce or others?
This is Christine. I can offer that what I was looking for in review was, process breakdowns, right? That because, as you know, we try not to redo the work of the steering committee. Very hard to do in out of context. And I think the fact that the same process was followed through all of the measures, and some made it through, some were a tie, and some did not make it through, suggested to me that whereas all of the same issues applied, that are raised in the memo, suggested that the steering committee was making a measure-by-measure decision. Now, if anyone wants to challenge whether or not that interpretation is fair, I certainly would like to hear that. But I couldn't see anything in the list of issues, they were all equally complex, they all would have the same a generic issue with carve-out services, particularly around pharmacy, but with their varying degrees and measuring individual physicians and the actual versus standardized and the proprietary software issue. The only one other remark I will make is it struck me as I was reading this that this particular set of measures hit all of our most difficult challenges, right? So the very complex measures of complex mathematical risk adjustment, et cetera, are often the hardest for the steering committees and the TAPs, as well as whenever there's you know, proprietary software license issues. You know, we have struggled with that over the years and finally came up with sort of guidance that, you know, but it has all, it has to be considered. And also the, you know, issues around, you know, getting into whether, you know, individual physician level measurement are also hard. So this sort of had all of that. And, you know, and I imagine it was a very difficult challenge for the steering committee and the TEP.
This is Bruce. For the steering committee, yes, it was. It was really challenging, and sometimes working through these measures and all the submissions, in particular on validity and reliability, was taxing. Put it that way, it was hard. I don't have the experience of having served on other steering committees, so I don't have much to compare it to. But I can certainly say that it was a lot of hard work, and considering all the differences among the steering committee members, it was not a simple matter to come to agreement. On the other hand, there was a lot of learning that took place from committee members to other committee members whose experience base tended to differ somewhat substantially.
Yeah, and this is Helen. Having lived through, for example, the Outcomes Project, there were a lot of similarities there. I think any, or even population health, anytime we enter in sort of a new measurement area, there is a lot of shared learning of the committees through the course of the project. But these measures are quite complex, obviously. But I think, you know, based on the fact that people submitted all their evaluations in advance, people really took a deep dive, and I think, you know, really did do their due diligence to evaluate these.
And if I can comment, what understood exactly what you say, and to be honest, I think we were learning along the way with you what you were looking for, trying to interpret your cues on questions. And to be honest, I think some, even, you know, looking at the note from Tom and Bruce, I think, you know, some comments on things that weren't submitted, actually I think we did submit but may have been lost, you know, along the way, or even, you know, interpretations of what we were trying to communicate to the committee, we weren't successful in doing so because, you know, people got the wrong impression of the way the measure worked. But, you know, that's our responsibility to do a good job of explaining it to you.
Yeah, Dan, it'd be very, this is Helen, it'd be very helpful to know if there are specific examples like that. We're not aware of anything that you submitted that we didn't sort of identify as such for the committee.
Yeah, I can send you a note if that's the proper. Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, this is Dennis. And, you know, we don't have the luxury of seeing the response to the response, I guess, which might be helpful here. But I guess I'm wondering, you know, it's sort of, there are a series of issues brought up by the Ingenix note and then responses that say, as Christina said, that say, no, that's not what we based it on or whatever. So I'm wondering if the issues in the response, the reliability and that sort of thing, if there's a response on the part of Ingenix to those specific problems that the steering committee raised. I mean, is this something that, for instance, could be resubmitted later, having solved some of those specific problems, or you know what? Is there an understanding of the basis for in voting it down, and is there some remedy for that somewhere down the road? Or is there just disagreement that those are not valid claims on the part of the steering committee?
You know, I think there are some things, like, for example, the risk adjustment approach, which, to be honest, we debate on an ongoing basis, whether you use concurrent, you know, sort of things that happen within the episode to risk adjust the episode versus only take things that are observed prior to episode start. You know, we can be convinced that the right way to do it is to do it before we have, you know, there are other people argue the other way. And in fact, you know, there's actually, in terms of consistency, there are measures that NQF endorsed through this cycle. You know, there's many things on top of risk adjustment. We actually use a retrospective risk adjustment approach, you know, the same sort of philosophical bent of what we use for episodes. So, and I guess even, you know, consistency argument there of one measure versus another and how that was treated. Things like doing a better job explaining what, you know, the concept of reliability, you know, from our perspective, to be honest, we struggled a bit with what exactly was the was it statistical reliability, was it reproducibility. So some of it is our learning and doing a better job explaining what we do. Some is, you know, changing our methodology, like the risk adjustment approach, like submitting standard price measures, like rolling, you know, diastolic and systolic heart failure into the same measure. So I think it's a little bit of, you know, adjustments to meet the consensus from NQF on what makes sense for a measure, as well as you know, our ability to understand what's, you know, the requirements and the approaches that can be used to communicate the way our methodology works in a more understandable way.
This is Bruce. The steering committee has expressed to NQF that the hope that there would be another opportunity to review submitted measures, and the sense that should be conveyed to NGenX and others is encouragement, not in any sense that we think they did a poor job and they should go back to the drawing board. But in fact, we're hoping that this is much more of an ongoing process that could yield new measures in the not so distant future.
No, that's appreciated. Thank you.
And does NGenX feel that, you know, based on the comments and the feedback and the reasons for the vote, that this is something that they can and would like to address or not?
I'm sorry, can and like to address in terms of subsequent submissions?
Yes.
Sure, yes.
And certainly in the course of this current project, there's not an opportunity to do that, but this is Helen, there's certainly going to be everything we've heard and seen, additional opportunities coming for us to continue to do work on cost of care and resource use. So, you know, we always are happy to take developers, resubmissions at a later date once some of the issues have been addressed and clarified. Also put out, Frank has joined us. He's on mute since he's in a busy, noisy car. I just wanted to welcome him and if he has anything to say.
Can I understand a little bit about the landscape here? It sounds a little bit like the ETG methodology is a little bit of one size fits all. Is there some, is that true? I mean, am I reading this right? And B, is part of the issue here to maybe have some variability in the methodology diverging from what might be an overarching structure for some measures that require that?
Well, I think there is. I'll let Tom Lynn, as our lead physician on ETGs, is on the phone as well. I'll let Tom jump in. But, you know, in general, there is a sort of a common measurement or construct. You know, it's riding across ETGs, which is how episodes are triggered, how services are gathered to episodes, how episodes begin and end, and, you know, risk adjustment. But, you know, within those parameters, you know, for example, things like you know, dealing with diastolic and systolic heart failure, we actually have two separate ETGs for that, and we could, you know, they could be pulled together to create a single, you know, measure, you know, to cover CHF in general. The, you know, things like risk adjustment, we could, you know, modify the risk markers so that they don't trigger based on anything that happens after episodes start. So things like that are, you know, modifiable. You know, changing the code sets that trigger episodes, which I think was a comment on, you know, from the steering committee on some conditions. You know, again, those are something we could do. And if, to be honest, if it's a good idea, we would, you know, apply it generally in our methodology rather than just create a special measure for NQF.
And this is Helen. Those sound like great potential avenues for NGenX to go forward on, and again, I think the issue really is more so in the course of this current project, there's not an opportunity for a whole lot of additional work and analyses to come forward. But again, I do think, you know, we will have other opportunities, and, you know, we'd love to see some of these measures return after some of those issues are addressed. Again, I think just going back to Christine's point at the start of the call, You know, much of this in the CSAC's re-review and reconsideration requests are often really about, you know, were the criteria appropriately applied or were there any process concerns. So I think that's kind of the avenue we need to more so stick to for this call, but certainly know there's lots of other, opportunities, I think, going forward.
Yeah, this is Dan. I think it's difficult to comment on whether this, because I know the, in listening to the steering committee deliberations and the TAPs that, this process was a very important part of it, and I think NQF and the committees did a good job. So it's hard to argue process wasn't followed. I think the question is, interpretation of and sort of weighing of the evidence one way versus the other. And I think Bruce addressed in some ways our first comment that of inability to understand how, the revote, if it was based only on the pricing methodology, how, the scientific validity and other elements of the measures could have changed as well, given, as we mentioned in our note, the clinical logic follows identical structure, whether it's actual or standard cost. And, Bruce's comment was, in fact, there was further reassessment of things other than standard and actual prices. So that helps explain that because, to be honest, without that, it was difficult to understand how the votes could flip, based on, choice of costing methodology. Some of the other elements about the complexity of the measure, and maybe this isn't enough to reconsider, is our sense was, that our complexity created a challenge for the committee, and it also, it relative to other methodologies that maybe aren't so complex, I think would argue there's in many cases a trade-off between validity and complexity, and this is a difficult area, and it's probably not a lot for us to say there, but we feel our complexity worked against us, and we understand transparency is also important, but that was, the reason for that comment. So again, process was followed. It was more, our sense of the weighing of the evidence rather than, relative to what we thought, at least our feeling of where things should have stood.
Yeah, and certainly we do get complex measures in other areas. Many of our outcome measures, some of the readmission measures, for example, are quite complex. I think this was, somewhat of a newer area to understand some of the nuances around the way these measures were used. But again, I think complexity isn't something that committees have had difficulty with. At times, the information was difficult to digest in the way it was presented, which I think did put you at a disadvantage, but more so just the way the information was presented, not the complexity of the information at times. But again, lessons learned, I think, for the future. Frank, are you on with us? Any questions or comments?
So he's in a car. Oh, I have a question. Did I hear right that the folks at Optum did not see the memo that came back from the steering committee on the reconsideration?
Everything posted. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So they can see it.
Yes.
Yes, we did. We did get that. Thank you. And we looked at it.
Okay. Great.
Helen, I'm here. I've been listening to the discussion, and actually right now I don't have any questions.
Thanks, Frank. So, unclear exactly how to move forward, because I thought you guys would have more questions and concerns for particularly questions for Bruce in particular, or questions for the developers. So maybe we'll take this quick opportunity to talk briefly about the policy discussion that we're also going to bring to the CSAC, and in particular, this question of whether or not, how we feel about national consensus standards that can only be used at a local or regional level. And that was certainly an issue that came up, particularly around the standardized prices versus the total cost issue. I was just curious if particularly the CSEC members have any thoughts about that.
Helen, I have a question about it. And when I read the memo, I thought when I saw option one and option two, they seemed to be, maybe I read it wrong. So let me tell you what I think I read.
Okay.
I read that option one was that in order to be considered a national consensus standard, it had to be applicable for evaluating national performance, right, which assumed that there would be some, you know, across the nation viewpoint on it. And that option two said only for local performance.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes, meaning you couldn't necessarily, the issue that the steering committee talked about a fair amount was, you know, you couldn't, for example, necessarily be able to compare the markets of Memphis to Minneapolis. But it may be very, you know, a very useful standard within those markets, but difficult to use as a national measure for comparison.
Right. And so, you know, I had a reaction to that, and I want more time to think through it. I imagine the full CSAC will debate this. But my initial reaction was, you know, the one I probably repeat the most often, which is that we do have to be better at acknowledging that measurement serves so many different purposes. And that my own view is that we need to be careful whenever we decide to interpret, you know, the words in the most narrow sense, because then it doesn't allow fit to the broadest purposes, which are evolving. And there's a sense of conservatism sometimes around a very narrow definition. So my personal view is we should always be able to indicate which types of measures are better for which purpose, but not tie ourselves up in saying that every measure has to be able to fit this, you know, this narrow band of you have to be able to use this one measure to compare the whole nation. You know, but I realize there have been opposite viewpoints on CSEC for quite some time, so I guess we'll get a chance to debate it.
Yep. Francis Dennis?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of my concerns, and maybe this is just kind of off the marker or whatever, but, you know, it strikes me that there are some measures that really are sort of regionally contained and obviously can't move off just because of maybe limited data that's available for some of the adjustments or whatever. But in general, and maybe, you know, tell me if this is kind of on another topic. In general, I think it's very valuable to know regional variation in things like actual payments made and this kind of thing that, I just think that it's not okay to forgive a local market who's way overpriced because of consolidation, for instance. So, I just hope that whatever path we take, we don't rule out, cross-market comparisons that would mask those kinds of differences that are important to discover. Does that make sense, or is it totally in it? Or is it a totally different topic? Tell me if I'm not responding.
Yeah, this is Frank.
Go ahead, Frank.
We talk about the complexity of these measures. When we start talking about cross-market differences, the complexity as to why that exists is even more complex than grouper methodologies. So we have to be really, I kind of agree with Christine. We pass these with a thought or an idea, but that doesn't necessarily translate as to how they're used and the way they're operationalized. And it gets back to this point, Helen, that you've heard me say, that one of the problems we're trying to anticipate is what happens with the mischief that these measures can create. And I'm not so sure we can solve all those problems. It might be better to put them out with an intended focus and then track and watch what happens so that we can make sure they're used in the right way and we're looking at the end result and trying to figure out what is the measure telling us more than what was in the measure itself, but what are the market forces, what are the drivers that are trying to deliver better health care? And it's a lot more complex than we know.
Yep. See you there.
This is Dan. If I could weigh in just a sec, we use both approaches, even in local markets, just standard and actual prices, and people find value in both. The large majority of applications are with actual prices. To be honest, mostly because that's what people have their arms around. That, you know, the dollars are sitting there on the data. It's straightforward for people to use, and people do want to assess not only resource use, they also want to look at, you know, unit prices issues when providers do have discretion on who to refer to or which hospital to align themselves with. So I think there's value for both, and to Christine's point, the right measure for the right purpose.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that both measures, well used in tandem, if that's at all possible. I think you need to serve a reference point, and then also some actuals are very important, especially to purchasers.
Yep.
And this is Frank. I actually do like the idea of looking at these in tandem. I think it helps all the stakeholders are served differently by these. And it might be more useful to have that tandem approach rather than trying to cut the baby one way or the other.
And this is Helen, and that's part of what we saw in some of the other developers' approaches was to submit both. At least for whatever reason, obviously there are some reasons on the Ingenix part not to submit the standardized pricing, but they were offered that opportunity. I realized it was a lot of work to do, but that was something that there was great interest in using them together.
Yeah. If I could put my two cents in on standard pricing is a challenge, though, especially to expect people to apply it in a consistent way. So just something to think about is it's, I had put a comment in our letter as I'm on the EMAP for NCQA around the RRU measures, and we actually developed their standard pricing methodology. And, part of the reason NCQA doesn't apply, include all resources in the resource use measures was, a sense from our panel that we didn't think, health plans would be able to consistently apply standard pricing methodology for certain services, and those were actually then excluded by NCQA. So there's something to think about. There's going to be some challenges with people applying standard pricing in a consistent way, which, to be honest, in my experience, is even more difficult than applying some of the complexity of the episode methodologies themselves.
And I know that isn't, I mean, that this may be a little off point, but I know MITRE developed for CMS some sort of standardized pricing methodology that now they're applying across all of their programs as well. So I think this is a topic that is just beginning to heat up. And is important. I agree. I think just local and national are valuable depending on the purpose.
Is there any other additional information that the CSAC workgroup members would like NQF staff to put together in advance of the March meeting? I know we have a short turnaround time. We want to be as responsive as we can to any concerns that you might have prior to the meeting. And if not today during the call, feel free to reach out to Ashley, myself, or Helen.
Yeah.
Happy to answer any additional questions.
This is Christine. I think the shortness of our dialogue is partly related to how well you did in assembling the materials for this particular meeting. I mean, we don't always agree as individuals with every decision made by every steering committee, and nor do the people who submit always agree with every decision made by every steering committee. But the materials you gave, I think, allowed us to evaluate whether or not, we had a misstep in process or whether or not it was a situation where, you know, we restrain ourselves from sort of getting in and trying to redo the work. And so I felt like the material, while it was voluminous, was very helpful for that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bruce, is there anything else that you would like to add? I know since you're the chair of this group, I want to make sure you have the opportunity. If there's anything else you wanted to add?
No, I don't have anything to add. Although I agreed with what all the CSAC workgroup members were saying about the usefulness of two different measures with and without standardized prices.
Okay, well, we don't need to keep folks. We just wanted to at least have a quick chance if you had questions for the developers or for the co-chair. So we'll be summarizing this, pulling it together for the next small group of just a couple of CSAC members, and then we'll try to have at least an online dialogue, see if there's some conclusion to be reached, at least preliminary recommendation to bring to the CSAC meeting on March 8th and 9th. 7th and 8th, actually tells me. I should know this. All right, perfect. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you.